At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Winter is coming.
Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? Tread confidently in winter's worst with a set of new tires from Tire Rack. They sell only the best, like the full line of Yokohama tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. That's TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will ship fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers. That's TireRack.com, TireRack.com, TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
All rise for the Honorable Judge Justin Frostberg.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. I don't know what this is, but we're live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there in unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The only thing in the news was adjudicated long ago.
That's enough. Before I sentence you, Jason L. Smith, and you, Mike L. Harmon, for your corrupt, evil, heinous, downright villainous crimes.
What kind of crime?
What the hell is heinous?
Now is the time highly recommend you twos show remorse and apologize for your monstrous, barbaric actions. Is there anything you'd like to say to the innocent, faultless, blameless, in the clear, not guilty, honest, law-abiding, not guilty, sinless, not guilty, righteous Shohei Ohtani?
How long did it take you to write that?
Well, it was not guilty about 17 different times.
That's all right. He wanted to circle back.
Very, very.
And fastest.
Very heinously.
Heinous.
Apparently Hank Haney is involved in this.
Well, very, you know what? Heinously. It is Masters weekend. It is his time to shine.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani. Looks like he didn't gamble. Shohei Ohtani. Looks like he got taken advantage of. Shohei Ohtani. Looks like he had a really bad interpreter. Shohei Ohtani. Looks like he had an interpreter who may be the worst gambler in the history of the world.
There's still a lot of questions
even,
to be answered.
Even worse than owing $4 million. Wait, $16 million in debt?
No, but that's the thing, though. Let's still go through the money.
Mm.
The amount of bets and the amount of, you know, wins/losses, there's still a giant gap beyond $16 million.
There's a lot of money.
This guy didn't make that much money.
Feds have ruled.
Hey. I still have lots of questions.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the end of Ocean's 11. You know, it's just ads. You know, hookers. Like, what happened to all that money? I don't understand. Well, yeah.
Certainly today. Okay, so I'm like, okay, what are we going to... We're going to get OJ, we got the Knicks, we have the Mets, we have so many things. But yeah, the Ohtani story is unbelievably huge. As it turns out, federal investigators are close to finishing their investigation into Ohtani and his role and Ipe Mazuhara, his former interpreter's role in the gambling scandal that has engulfed him in Major League Baseball. And the federal, this is not baseball, this is a baseball investigation. I would go, yeah, right, whatever. But this is a federal investigation, and everything we've seen that came out today was Ipe took the money. Ipe was the guy. He impersonated Ohtani on phone calls a couple of times. They have text messages. So, yeah, I feel pretty confident in saying I don't think this anything's going to blow back on Shohei Ohtani. In fact, I'll tell you this, since it seems like this is steaming towards a conclusion, right? The federal investigation is here. Whatever you want to question with an investigator, because there's always going to be people that say, well, are they looking into this and looking at what about this? What about this? Again, this is a federal investigation. This is not it's not their job to say we got to make sure baseball is good. No, if there was long time corruption and it involved Ohtani and it was easy to prove, yeah, they would have it. This, again, it's not a baseball investigation, which would just be a couple of questions and it would be rubber stamped and moved on. I feel pretty strong in that this is going to end, and it's going to end with Ipe Mazuhara paying all the damages, and he's going to pay the price for whatever his sentence is going to be. But you look at all the evidence that the feds have. It's like, look, we have wiretaps. We have text messages. We have him pretending to be Ohtani. We have money taken away. And a lot of rich people will tell you, yes, unfortunately, it's pretty easy to find people losing money when you have a lot of money. If you have a lot of money, it's easy for people to steal a decent amount of it. See, $16 million is a lot of money. $16 million is a lot of money for you and I and for most everybody. But for a guy making money like Ohtani, if slowly someone else is in charge of your money and you don't have a big inner circle that helps you out with a lot of stuff, yeah, you can misplace. You can lose 4, 8, 12, 16 million. The big thing is the amount of money. You know, we thought it was $4.5 million that supposedly Ipe took from Shohei to pay these gambling debts. Now it's up to $16 million.
Yeah, but like I said,
$16 million,
from the math that came out of this thing, there's still a negative $40.678 million. In terms of his what he lost, what he won, the net loss is over $40 million. So where's the other 24? That's what I want to know. Unless Ipe was independently wealthy before he started, and then started siphoning off of Shohei. That math still doesn't make sense.
Can you do gambler rankings? And would he be like worst gamblers? Would he be at the top?
I don't know. He got to gamble nearly $320 million.
Yeah, but he lost it all.
Not all.
he lost enough that he's going to go to prison.
Well, it wasn't his money. No, that's his money. Like, it wasn't his money. That's why he's going to prison.
Right. But he still lost it.
But if it was his money.
Right, but he doesn't have it.
Then everybody would have just gone, nah.
He does, but he doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the money.
Yeah, but again, explain to me the other 20. Like, they're like, he stole 16 from him.
He lost it all.
So you're telling me he earned the other 24?
Maybe.
Or he siphoned that off of Mark number 2, which is as yet unnamed?
Or he won for a little while and then lost it all again.
But legitimately, is there Mark number 2 ready to go?
Right,
victim 1, victim 2. The fact that Ohtani at some point, this guy saw him out walking his dog, he could have taken him out.
Look, he probably just kept betting the Mets last year and kept losing money.
But that's the other thing. There's no evidence of baseball. He's betting college soccer.
Yeah.
He's bet $320 million.
Yeah. Usually people...
And it's like, there's no evidence of baseball at all.
People only lose that kind of money back in the Jets.
I'm betting on everything. I'm screwing over my best friend. But I will not ruin the sanctity of Major League Baseball.
But look, everything we've seen, I'll tell you, because this is reality now, what you think of Ohtani and Ipe and everything going on, the reality is you look at the evidence that the feds have come forth with, and it's all implicating Ipe, and it's Ipe's own words saying, I did it, I'm going to probably wind up getting busted for this, whatever it is.
That was a great quote, too, by the way. Not like you stole it.
Technically, I kind of stole the money. Technically, I did. Unlike in Ocean's 13, where technically they stole the money, but only because Pacino stole it, to begin with. What is this, a Billy Martin, where I get a chance to give it back? Huh? What's this? But seeing how this goes, this is now getting towards a conclusion where Ipe is the guy. He's Capone, right? He's the guy. He did all of it, all the evidence we've seen, all the evidence that has come out saying, look, this is not, hey, we have circumstantial stuff. We have texts. We have him on audio. I mean, just the fact him impersonating Ohtani to get money. I mean, that's insane that he did that on at least one phone call. But so how is this going to end now? This was a scandal that was enveloping baseball, and now you can see, look, and with the federal investigation focusing on Ipe, and this is what it's going to wind up being, baseball's going to have a very quick investigation as well. You know Rob Manfred now. Oh, hey, well, the feds just gave me the green light to do whatever I want. This is going to be open and shut. And I guarantee you there's going to be nothing for no penalty for Ohtani, and by the time we get to the beginning of June, this will be a forgotten storyline, and we won't even pay attention to it the rest. It won't even be a story the rest of the year. Yeah, poor Ohtani. He got taken by his interpreter, and it's not even going to be something we talk about. Like that's how fast this thing is going to wind up being solved. This lightning speed, apparently, now. Boy, I wish all cases could be adjudicated like this. Suddenly we have lightning speed for Ohtani. Other things are taking forever, and you can delay. And you always see on all the TV shows, I'm going to blind you with paperwork and a delay tactic. We won't start this trial till 2020. Oh, how can they do this? But yet this investigation's going like gangbusters, man. So it's going to end fast. I'm telling you, by the beginning of May, we won't even talk about it. We'll get to the middle part of the season and go, boy, remember when that gambling scandal, beginning of the year, remember that was a big deal for a couple of weeks? And suddenly you don't even talk about it.
Was it really a big deal for a couple of weeks?
It's going to be gone.
It was a big deal for about 48 hours. Then the season began in earnest and it was like, all right, we'll wait and see. And then, ta-da, within 3 weeks, it's done. Just that fast.
It's good. Like I said, it's going to be done that fast.
No, I love the quote that we alluded to before was pretty good. It's all BS. Obviously, you didn't steal from him. I understand it's a cover job. I totally get it. Well, technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me.
Okay. I like that. Well, technically, if you really want to boil it down to brass tacks, yes, I did steal from him.
No,
I did steal.
He also bought 1,000 baseball cards reportedly worth $325,000. Would love to see the enumeration of what those were. I mean, I'm curious on that. I also want to know what
he bought a lot of Odubel McDowell rookie cards.
Well, they said he bought a lot of Shohei's and a lot of our man Juan Soto.
Okay.
Like, evidently, those were the two guys.
Okay.
And there are some accounts that are saying, yeah, I actually have receipts from my eBay account. From, you know, what they said the handle was.
Okay.
So they're going back, and bit by bit, that'll be pieced together of which...
What's the handle? I'm really Shohei. Trust me. That's the handle?
Well, that was... the Shohei was parenthetical. But, like, there's... Look, in the end, they decided it's done. I think we still... as reasonable people, there's still questions. And just saying, well, here's a bunch of athletes, here's a bunch of musicians that watch their money go down the drain. There's a couple of things, right? There's institutional, like where it's you just had some bad money management. There's middle management looking the other way. And there's people that are outright thieving from you. This was outright theft. But you would think, and again, this is my naivete and evidently Ohtani's, is that with all that money, there were layers of security things other than I'm able to tell the bank that I'm Shohei Ohtani
and
bypass that.
Everything, yeah, and this
and
is where...
And nobody else in the checks and balances
right.
When you're filing taxes?
Because apparently, and this is the deal, this is why athletes and entertainers, people who have a lot of money, have a lot of people working for them because you get more checks and balances when
right.
You have more... Ohtani's circle is so tight. Like, it was him and Ipe everywhere they went.
Well, and
right?
They convinced the agent, you know...
Yeah,
you know,
so when there's only a couple of
this,
people, it's easier to pull something... Look, you can always pull a scam up. It's always easier to pull something off the fewer people who know about it, fewer people involved. And is Ohtani someone that has all the businessmen that stars? No, he doesn't. He's got a very small inner circle. We don't hear a lot about him. This is why. But this is one of the things that can happen. You trust the wrong person. If there's three people in charge of your career and one of them's corrupt, hey, guess what? Look what can happen to you. Like, this is why people have more than just, I have a banker, I have a manager, I have an agent, I have this. I get all these checks and balances here because if something happens, somebody's going to be able to find or say something at some point. But when you only have a couple of people, this is what can happen.
By the way, the agent, he needs to go too, though, right? because of the brokering that conversation with ESPN and all that. Oh, we thought we could handle this without Shohei having to know. No,
just let him play the game. He's got a big game today.
Let him worry about
big
baseball.
Game today. Games in Korea. Let's not worry about it. But I mean, but look, but you, when you see the U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada say, "I want to emphasize this point: Mr. Ohtani is a victim in this case, and that there is no evidence Ohtani had any knowledge of Mizuhara's gambling activities, use of his bank account. Investigators combed through years of text messages between the two and found no discussion of gambling." When the U.S. attorney in charge of the case stands up in front of a lot of cameras and says, "Hey, this is what we found," this is where I say, okay, I feel pretty good that they got the right guy. They did the right thing, because that's this guy's career. Don't forget, this guy likes to be U.S. district attorney and say, hey, because if he winds up screwing it, guess who loses his job? He does. So, you know, he's got a lot to lose if suddenly, hey, this is a broad brush case and we're just going to say we're finished. I mean, I feel pretty confident that they found what they needed to find in this.
But again, it still goes back to some of the questions. This guy made 19,000 bets. He was supposedly his right-hand man with him all the time. And they never discussed betting? And he knew nothing of the dude's betting habits?
What do you think of North Carolina and Vanderbilt?
Women's soccer.
What do you think of that? I don't know. Vanderbilt? Yes. Give me 10 grand on Vanderbilt. Right there.
He was talking about 24/7 soccer coverage. Like, all of those things. Like, those weren't red flags? Oh, my guy just loves sports. Sports.
We're going to find out that Harmon lost every bid on those Shohei cards to eBay.
Every time I got outbid.
He defrauded me repeatedly.
I got outbid by that guy every single time. But watch. Watch how this is ending at a frighteningly fast pace. And by the time we get to May, we won't even remember the story. Oh, remember when that happened to my... We'll forget about it really quickly.
Apologize now.
Exit How About a Fresca. Exit Swollen Dome. All rise. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. So, yeah, we'll have more on Shohei and this big developing story coming up. But straight ahead, we'll get into what happened today. O.J. Simpson dying at the age of 76. And, oh boy, do we have a conversation. That's next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio, every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called Overpromised. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way. So maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising.
Perfect.
And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you...
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that'll elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. They'll show you the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of hand-cooked tires. They're shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their hand-cooked test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get your podcasts.
Stop. This is a great song. Although I got to be honest with you, the acoustic version that they is as good as this song is, the acoustic version that Dave Grohl did of this, I think it was on Howard Stern like 15 years ago, is incredibly insanely good.
I don't know. You said that Better Tears version. For Fears one was good, and that was not that great.
It was great. The kid played all the instruments and the vocals on the guitar.
Yeah, but was he better than DeMarcus Ware singing it?
No.
You don't even know who DeMarcus Ware is.
I do now because of Harmon.
What sport does he play?
Baseball.
Yes, very good.
And what team, now.
What team does he play for?
Cowboys.
Yes, very good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, very good. What position does he play?
Pitcher.
Yeah, okay. You know a lot of stuff, Teicher.
I'm pretty good.
You did a lot of sports studying while you were on vacation.
I did.
You did. You really did.
Sun and sports. That's all I did.
Tired of feeling alone in your job search? Well, with just one connection, you can find endless job opportunities. The connection to Express Employment Professionals. Don't go it alone. Visit ExpressPros.com to location near you. That's ExpressPros.com, ExpressPros.com. Well, we will get to the unbelievable day it was for the Knicks and the Mets. I don't know who had the better day, but obviously today's a day everybody woke up and saw the same big news. O.J. Simpson dies at the age of 76. His family puts out a statement that he'd been suffering from cancer. This was an early morning story that I am sure every single person in the world has talked about. And, you know, the weird thing is this, is that my family, my friends who've known me for so long know that it just so happened my heyday at ESPN when I was in production was all around the OJ trial. And we covered it every day. I worked on it every day. And it was a story that dominated the news for well over a year. It was
sure.
It was insane. So I got to see a lot of things. Now, certainly it was a long time ago, but it's still a storyline that everybody knows. Like Zoe came home today from school saying, everybody's talking about OJ Simpson and all these things. Yes. And you know, like a couple of you said, how do you feel? Like, what are you going to talk about? How do you feel? Like, what are you going to say on the show tonight? And I said, you know, the first thing I'm going to say is this. My reaction to this is I have no reaction. He was a great football player who got acquitted of murder of his wife and her friend, despite incredible evidence that showed you that he did. He wrote a book saying, if I did it, this is how I did it. Libel in the civil judgment. He's dead. That's really all I have on it. That's where, when it comes to him dying, like, okay, he died. I don't really have a reaction to it. It's because, you know why? Because there's no positivity. There's no good that comes out of any of this. We had a storyline where he was one of America's great personalities, great football player, had an acting career, broadcasting career, was in commercials, and then you had the death of his wife and her friend, and you saw that there was DNA evidence and there was all kinds of things implicating him, and it was a slam dunk case, and somehow he wound up getting acquitted. And it's just what went on after, you saw that he was still that kind of guy, wound up going to prison for a memorabilia theft, ring theft that went on, that he tried to steal back stuff of his. no good comes of this story. Nobody gets any peace. You know, there's no peace for either Nicole Brown Simpson's family, Ronald Goldman's family. There's no peace for anybody else. There's no peace for people who years away go, oh, wow, what did the jury do in that situation? There's no positive. You know, he's gone and he's dead and everybody has their opinions and there's no, well, there's peace here. There's some kind of thing. There's nothing. So when it comes to that part of it, I mean, there's a lot of conversation to be had about this. But when it comes to my reaction, I was like, boy, he died. I wasn't jumping around doing cartwheels. I wasn't sitting around going, oh, wow, what a great football player he was. No, it's just because of what happened, because of this, I just don't have a reaction. When something bad happens and someone goes unpunished for it and they die or something, I don't really have a reaction to it because it's, okay, it happened and we'll talk about it today. And then we're going to be on to other things.
Yeah, for me, it became the discussion of really what that trial, the chase and everything begat in our society, more so than the case itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the base of it, you had two savage, inhumane, horrendous losses of life, right? And a lot of theories of accomplices and all of those other things, and people can go down into their true crime podcast and run amok with that. You know, my kids both asked me because they saw the headlines, like, what do you remember? I'm like, I remember all of this mm-hmm. stuff, right? I mean, it was, and it's been chronicled. I mean, hell, in their timelines, the Shrek 2 chase, right, where he's in human form, and now he's on a Bronco, and mm-hmm. they're chasing him through the woods mm-hmm. and whatever, like all of it. Like it made it into the cartoons. It made it into so many pieces of pop culture and begat the Kardashians, which is a whole other...
Sure, sure.
Whole other thing.
Sure.
Right? Whether you like fake asses or not, I mean, you can blame him for that, too.
David Schwimmer played Robert Kardashian.
Yes, he did.
Ross played Robert Kardashian.
And then Cuba Gooding Jr. Yeah. was in there. Yeah.
So, what's going to be your strategy? I'm going to say, we were on a break! We were on a break! Okay. Go ahead, sorry.
had to go down that road. But, like, the initial reaction is like, huh. And then I started getting texts, like my brothers and other people. And, you know, within minutes, and I sent it to you guys because it was one of the first things that I thought of, how much every week, no matter what, Norm MacDonald was going to use that as his basic tenet for every weekend update that he did, no matter what else was going on in the world. Mm-hmm. It was going to be all about the trial.
Until NBC fired him.
Well, and then eventually,
he wouldn't stop doing it, yeah.
And then he had his, there was an 11-minute supercut. There were all these
other
clips going around.
Yeah.
So, you know, just the fact that it took over in so many different ways, and all these years later, there's still all these theories and whatever else, and as you said, nobody's getting any peace off it, right? You know, there was no restitution made, no admittance, no trying to find peace in any of that. They're saying that, you know, family members, friends made their way to visit before he passed and whatever it is. I don't know those family relations, but I've certainly seen a lot more coming out of people who are under NDAs and their stories of what they knew about some really horrid, terrible things that weren't part of this case, mm-hmm. right? That weren't part of the record as related to, you know, there. So it's now an ever-evolving story because, again, anything that was under those doesn't survive death, right? If we know anything from our law and orders and all mm-hmm. the, you know, even probably watching that David Schwimmer-led vehicle, that, you know, it doesn't survive death. So a lot more of those stories and those realities and the grisly details will become public. And probably, you know, anybody that might have still been on the fence, I got to guess the preponderance of evidence and the weight is starting to push the scale there in one direction.
I got to tell you two things, the two big things coming out of this case that I learned when I was in my early to mid 20s is that the first one I know is that if you have the better lawyers, even if you don't have a great case, you can still beat the other team if they don't have as good lawyers.
Well, you saw the Dershowitz line today? If they had contacted me first, I probably would have been on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, when you have the better lawyers, because like the famous quote from Robert Shapiro, not only did we play the race card to try to win this, but we dealt it from the bottom of the deck.
Sure.
Right?
And well, tampering with the crime scene also helped.
That gets the big part of it, is that
boy,
I realized
the LAPD
two things.
Messed that one up.
I realized that the better lawyers can win, even if they don't have the facts, if they don't have the case, they can still win. And that a jury can decide whatever they want to, regardless as to what they see.
Sure.
Because look, you think about now that the two biggest, the one thing I remember, you know, back in that case, covering it every day, is how big a deal they spent on the DNA evidence. This is 99 and 44 100s proof. This is his DNA is here in this blood. But the science was so new, it was easy for the defense. We're supposed to believe this when none of us really understand. Whereas no matter what the case was now, if this case happened now, no matter what you felt about O.J. Simpson and everything else, would be impossible to let the guy go because the DNA, the forensic evidence is indisputable, right? We solve cold cases now from 40 years ago because of DNA evidence. But because it was so new then, it was able to be discounted by the jury. And don't put and this is something that's real, because I had just moved to L.A. when this was going on. And when I think about the jury not convicting O.J. Simpson, I feel like a lot of it had to do with what did we just see a couple years before was the Rodney King verdict, right?
24 months,
which was awful, right? You watch Rodney King get beaten to a pulp by a bunch of bad cops, and what happens? They all wind up getting acquitted, and the riots across the city were insane. So you know that's in the back of jurors' minds and people's minds. Hey, whatever this result is going to be, are we going to wind up seeing? Are we going to see something? Are we going to see? And so I wonder, and this is just me playing amateur psychology, thinking about the jury seeing all this evidence and still acquitting O.J. Simpson, is that I wonder how much in their mind was, boy, our city, we don't want this city to have this happen again. But boy, there's really nowhere to go. How can we let him go? How can we not convict him? Because look at this preponderance of evidence. And then the Mark Furman stuff came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I dealt the race card from the bottom of the deck, and you see Mark Furman and everything that went bad and how bad that was and how bad they screwed up.
Well, and you had so much mistrust of the institution as it was.
You had a lot of racial mistrust there. And that's where I think the juror was able to say, okay, you've given it to us. You've given us the out for us to not convict O.J. Simpson of this and have it on the heels of what happened to Rodney King. Obviously, two different cases, but you're talking about a city that burned. And then is this going to happen again because suddenly how big a deal that was? But the Mark Furman stuff, I think that was for the jury. That was where they said, okay, now you've given us an okay out for us to say, yeah, we can acquit him. Because the other stuff was all comical. Oh, we can't fit the glove. You're going to let him try the glove on and pretend that he can't put it on? Really? Like, what kind of lawyers? I mean, you look at like Marcia Cross and Marcia Clark, not Marcia Cross.
Darden.
I was talking about Melrose Place, it would be Marcia
Well,
Cross.
It is coming back.
It is, yes, but she's not coming back.
She's not attached
though.
As of yet.
As I sit here and go, how are you? You blew the biggest slam dunk case in the history of law, and you're writing books and being famous about this. Like, how did you allow all these things to happen? And it's like they never thought they were going to lose. But once that happened, once Mark Furman came out and you saw all the racism that was out there, you saw everything else, then you knew, okay, that's how it's going to be, because that was just awful. That was such an awful look for the LAPD and everything else, and you cringe thinking that, boy, these are the institutions that we expect to protect us, and these are the last two openings we have gotten into what's going on here. And you know, I think that was a big part of why OJ was able to go free. No matter what you see, you know, jurors are going to say, okay, no, this is what I choose to believe. This is what I choose to believe the most, what I choose to believe here, and that's why he was not guilty. But all that being said, if this trial happened now, that DNA evidence, it would be, what can we do? We have the evidence from his car into her house. We got a bloody footprint. We got all these different things. And because it was screwed up so much, and Shapiro put that on display, this is why we had the outcome we did.
No, this is it. You know, you go back and talk about the all-star defense squad that you put together. It's been well chronicled, and you know, the television dramas and so many other breakdowns. It began all of these law shows, right, where you had, well, let's bring in our expert to talk about what we heard. Court TV and everything else flows out of it, and it became a cottage industry. But I remember, you know, being in Chicago, and it was everything that everybody was talking about, but expecting with the same trepidation as you had here in L.A. of, well, what happens? What happens when the verdict gets read?
Yeah. I think it's a big thing.
Right, calls from, I remember my mom. It's like, just make sure you're home.
Yeah.
Just don't be out, whatever. Like, just fear that the city would be engulfed in flames. And, you know, we saw it. How many times did we chronicle it a couple of years ago here on air at Fox Sports Radio as cities burned across America? You know, it's something that, you know, you don't forget seeing that. And certainly in L.A., that was so recent, where a lot of that stuff hadn't even been close to being rebuilt at that point.
The most popular Halloween mask this year is O.J. Simpson. And the most popular Halloween greeting is, I'll kill you.
Norm MacDonald making a cottage industry out of that.
Or treat.
Oof. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. We'll have more on OJ coming up because, again, there's so many fascinating things to get into about this, the impact it's had on the country. But, hey, we talked about earlier in the show, Steve DeSager is going to tell us what's trending right now. We thought four and a half was a big number. Then earlier today when we heard 16, I think it took a lot of people by surprise in Major League Baseball. But Steve's got all the details now. The Mets scoring 16 runs against the Braves today. And oh, by the way, whatever happened with Ipe and Shohei. But the Mets had 16 runs today, Steve-O.
Oh, no. Federal authorities accused Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter of bank fraud, saying he stole more than $16 million from Ohtani over 2 years. Ipe Mizuhara was trying to pay off gambling debts to an illegal sports book. There is no evidence Ohtani had any knowledge of any of this. Bank records show the phone number and email on Ohtani's account were changed to Mizuhara in late 2021. But winnings went to Mizuhara's account. The Mets today won 16-4 at Atlanta. Mets led 7-0 in the third inning. The Royals won their seventh straight game, 13-3 over Houston. Kansas City scored 9 times in the first. Oakland got a 1-0 win at Texas. The Rangers were held to 1 hit. Rainouts at Detroit and at Cincinnati. Philadelphia 5-1 over Pittsburgh tonight. The Pirates had entered with a record of 9-3. And Baltimore in 10 innings has won at Boston 9-4. The Orioles hit 4 home runs in this one. Bryson DeChambeau leads the Masters by 1 stroke after a first-round 65. Tiger Woods is tied for 17th, 1 under par through 13 holes. Rain delayed the start of the first round this morning. Yes, O.J. Simpson passed away at the age of 76 of prostate cancer. He died yesterday in Las Vegas. Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice has surrendered to authorities in Dallas. He faces felony charges in the aftermath of a street race that sparked a 6-car accident, and WFAA says Rice has been booked and released on bond, and SMU suspended defensive back Teddy Knox for his alleged role in this multi-car crash. Kentucky is reportedly targeting BYU basketball coach Mark Pope for their job. Minnesota in the NBA should have Karl Anthony Towns back before the regular season ends on Sunday. Reportedly, he could return tomorrow from his knee injury. Brandon Ingram of New Orleans could return on Sunday. New Orleans Pelicans have one of the late games tonight. They get out to a lead at Sacramento of 34-11 late in the first quarter. It's now Pelicans 41-26 early in the second. Late in the third, Houston tied at Utah 89 apiece. Golden State has a game going right now, leading 24-22 at Portland. That's early second quarter. Chicago won at Detroit 127-105. DeMar DeRozan 39 points. New York won at Boston 118-109. Jalen Brunson 39 points. Among the 10 NHL games, Florida 4-0 over Columbus. Winnipeg a 3-0 winner at Dallas. Back to you.
Thank you, Steve-O. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. Well, we'll have more on OJ coming up straight ahead. It looks like we may have an answer as to who the next head coach of Kentucky might be. OJ is not going to be the next head coach of Kentucky.
No, but he did it.
He is not. That's coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that'll elevate your drive. touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. They'll show you the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Bridgestone tires. They're shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Well, you know me, Mike Harmon. I hate to say I told you so.
Welcome to your life.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We got more on OJ coming up in a few minutes. But it looks like Kentucky has zeroed in on who their next head coach is going to be.
Yeah.
This, after today, we find out Scott Drew said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to stay at Baylor.
A lot of Waco jokes out of that, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sure he went to La Casita for lunch yesterday, and whatever the dude that was from the bank
had a nice big check.
Dump truck full of money and said, here, we're all good. You're staying, right? Okay.
This is now your casita. Here are the keys.
It looks like their man is BYU head coach.
Dick Poop.
No, Mark Pope. Close. Mark Pope. So, TJ, if we see white smoke come up out of Kentucky, we'll know that Pope is the new head coach, TJ. Just for a second, because this is, we talked about this the other night. I don't know how, it makes me think I know how to run a coaching search better than Kentucky and Mitch Barnhart, the AD, but you go from all the best top guys say no, after the one guy you really want says no, then you go to Danny Hurley and say, hey, maybe, and he says no, screw, the guy just went back-to-back national titles, and he's not the first guy you ask. I would say no, just because you asked me second. Not that I think he's a great fit in Kentucky, because, yeah, boy, the guy can be a bit abrasive, but it works at UConn, but you're going to ask him second?
Yeah,
really?
But I think they had to go back to him after he made it very public of, you know, how much he liked it when he was asked the question, right? They didn't say it specifically, but talking about the landscape and looking out there, and he said, you know, you got to talk to my wife, right? Made it so. It's like, well, we gotta make that phone call now. Yeah, we gotta at least
the stories.
We gotta at least call the way he said that. I don't know.
He's answering questions Monday night after they won the national championship, and they go, "Yeah, you're the third guy. We're gonna don't worry, Danny. We'll get to you. Come on, how
you
stupid
to check
are
the
you?
Box.
You're just, I mean, I don't. I could run a better search than this. So now you're down to Mark Pope, right? Who has not? Because you're upset that John Calipari has not been taking you far enough in the NCAA tournament. So you're gonna replace him with a guy who's never won an NCAA tournament. Game as a head coach.
Well, so but it would be really special if he got his first at Kentucky.
Yeah, but just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
You're upset that a guy that's won a national championship and been to Final Four is not taking you far enough, so you're going to replace him with a guy who has not won an NCAA tournament game as a head coach.
Yeah.
That's that. Just think of, let that sink
well,
in.
Well, he's never lost more than 15 games in a season at BYU.
Oh, good. So when they go 16-15 next year, they'll be okay.
Yeah, a couple of 11 loss seasons in there, but, you know, still win.
Let that sink in, because this goes back to what did we say the other night? I get that you're frustrated with Calipari and Wildcat Nation. We need somebody new. Maybe if we get somebody new to come in, the NIL purse strings will open up again. Calipari's run its course, and you know they were okay with him leaving for Arkansas because they put up no fight. And it was, yes, we're ready to move on. But I go back to this and I say, who are you going to get that's better than Calipari? Who are you going to get? Tell me the guy out there that not only is going to continue to win in the SEC, but get you to Final Fours. Calipari's not that guy anymore. Who's the guy out there better?
Fran Brown.
You're now going, stop. He's going to be coaching in the playoff next year for Syracuse. And when Syracuse plays Ohio State for the national title, we'll talk to him about it then. You're going for a guy, again, who's never won an NCAA tournament game that you're expecting to build up. Now, he built a great program at BYU. I'm not saying he hasn't. He's built a pretty good program there. But you're talking about, we need a guy elite to get us to Final Fours. And a guy that's not Final Four, not Sweet 16, hasn't won a game. He's the guy. You have biffed this from the beginning because, yes, you're ready to push him out, but who was the guy? You need to say, if we're pushing Calipari out, our next guy is ready to come in. And this is the danger. This is what happens to programs and how they wind up circling the drain, and a once proud Kentucky team, which is the number one job in college basketball, this is how you turn into an 18-15 team going to the NIT, and you go, what happened to us? We're Kentucky basketball. This is how it happens. This is how it happens.
You know how you fix this?
How do you fix it?
You hit the music. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. All-time great. One of the greatest coaches we've ever seen in the collegiate ranks. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rick Pitino.
No, come on.
Hey, man, if WrestleMania can bring back Cena and The Undertaker Rock, we can turn back the clock and bring back Pitino.
He got the job with Iona, and he said that was his last job. And then he left and went to St. John's. And now St. John's is his last job. He's not going anywhere. You can't get him out of St. John's to get to Kentucky. Come on, man. Iona was his last job. I'm not going anywhere. I remember vividly when he said that at the press conference. You're not going to get, especially after he said, that's my last job, then I'm leaving for St. John's. He's not going to leave again. You can't do that.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, look, we at least would have some tournament experience.
But look, this is how a program goes from elite to what did we do? Because this is how you turn into 18-14 seasons. Who are you going to get, right? Mark Pope's a guy better than he's going to get you better and further than John Calipari. Just what I'm guessing. This is the guy. This is where if you knew he was going to go, you had to have your next guy set up to say, nope, we got it, and this is our okay. Hey, this is a guy that handles NIL, knows what it's like for the SEC. All of these things, they biffed this so badly.
Well, but here's the other problem: is that you waited until the cycle had already gone through. A lot of these guys had already moved, right? We'd seen a lot of coaching movement. We certainly saw it on the football side, but on the basketball side, guys were already gone, already in their own version of the portal. So what's left?
I'll tell you, man.
The white smoke of the Pope.
I could have run this better. I really could have.
You don't like my Pitino coming back?
No, I like that
idea. I even had his entrance music and everything.
Yeah, but he's the one guy whose name has been out there they have not talked to, so you know they don't want to talk to him.
That's too bad.
A lot more on this, more on OJ, and a big story involving Tom Brady. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Oh, how happy was I today? The Mets thumped the Braves. They scored 16 runs. The Knicks beat the crap out of the Celtics. We're going to the finals. Big day, Mike Harmon. Big day today.
Jalen Brunson with another 39.
MVP.
And just think about it. It's 1994. Headlines are all about OJ and the Knicks.
OJ and the Knicks. You're right. Now it's funny you say it because we played the font open.
The font
to start the show tonight.
Yeah.
And while everybody, you always play where were you when? Where were you when? I think everybody remembers where they were when the OJ verdict trial was when the OJ verdict was read, and you also remember where you were when the chase happened.
Oh, the Bronco chase. Absolutely.
Al Cowlings and OJ Simpson, and I remember where I was because it just happened to be at the same time as Game 6 of the NBA Finals, the Knicks and the Rockets. You know what I was doing?
What were you doing?
I was fonting.
Really?
This is when I was a production assistant.
You were crying.
Because, you know, if you were in charge of the font, you were in charge of the graphics for a show, and that was part of the wheel of assignments you did as a PA or an AP at ESPN was you did graphics. But they call it fonting. So I was
it really
getting
a
ready.
Wheel?
Well, they would call it Willie because you, when you were a temporary PA or in your first year, it would say you would spend a month doing this, then a month doing this, and a month doing that, right? So that was where you're on the wheel. And so I was doing graphics. I was fonting. And the whole thing is the chase is going on, and I'm watching the Knicks and the Rockets. And I'm going, this is crazy. And I'm the argument was, what's going to lead the show tonight? What do we lead the show with? What does SportsCenter lead? Would you lead with the chase or the Knicks? I go, this is the NBA bleeping finals, and it's the Knicks. And everybody's like, are you kidding? What are you, nuts? And I remember somebody saying, we'll be lucky if we even get to the Knicks in the show. I'm like, what are you, crazy? But sure enough, oh, and now realizing how big a deal it was, me with my Knicks goggles on, yeah, the O.J. Simpson chase was the whole show. Yeah, and we did the NBA Finals, and the Knicks won, forcing Game 7. I was like, okay, great. And I'll always remember at the end, because I was doing graphics, is that somebody, I want to say it might have been Stuttering John from Howard Stern's show, got into the post-game press conference. Pat Riley's answering all these questions for the Knicks, and, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I think it was Stuttering John who says, Pat Riley, do you think if OJ had cut to the left, he would have got away? And Pat Riley goes, what? And then you hear, get him out, get that guy out, get him out. And they took him out.
Because
Pat Riley doesn't know. He just won the game, and now he's answering questions. If OJ had cut to his left, would he have gotten away? It's like, all right.
Well, I mean, look, if Pat Riley had been wise to the chase, then he could have answered it.
He might
have given you a good response.
Could have been.
Might have gone to the whiteboard and come up with a pretty good play to run. No, I remember we were in an apartment. We had a bunch of folks over across from Ryan Field up in Evanston. And TV's on, and all of a sudden the Knicks game goes to the picture-in-picture.
Yeah.
I started cursing up a storm.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell?
I got the Knicks here.
I don't care about this.
See, I didn't have that because I had two screens in front of me. I was on ESPN.
Clearly you didn't.
Like, I didn't care. I'm like, I got the Knicks here, and I got the chase here. And after a while, honestly, the chase was boring. Like,
no, but that's what I mean. Put the game back up.
Because that was the first.
And flip it if you need to.
That was the
Give
first,
me my picture-in-picture the other way.
That was the first real chase that anybody really got to see, because now in the ensuing years, when there's car chases, when police are chasing somebody in different, okay, everybody stops and watches,
here,
right?
In LA,
but that was the first time anybody would saw it.
Not as you'd thought from the movies from Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, this is AC. I got OJ in the car, and you know what? The one thing I remember from the time was when they started driving through where he lived, driving through
Brentwood,
is that the people on the side of the road that knew it was coming, that were standing there and waving because they knew the television cameras come by. And I remember going, oh my God, what are the people there? They're right near a car. That car could
You've
jump
done
the
that out
moment.
Here.
Yeah.
You've done that out the back door here at Fox Sports Radio.
I didn't realize
when
at
we've
the time,
been watching chases.
No, I didn't realize at the time. I was like, oh my God, I'm so scared for those people because they're there just to be on television. Hey, look, and they're waving as they know the car is driving by them. I'm going, oh my God. Those people. Then I realized, oh, yeah, okay. We just drove by a wreck 2 weeks ago from a car chase outside the studio.
That's right.
And
so you had it on two gruesome. Screens.
We had the OJ on one screen and the Knicks on the other screen.
Doesn't sound like you were watching the game.
I was watching it. The Knicks had it in hand. So it was okay.
What's up?
The Knicks had the game in hand.
The Rockets won game six.
Then it was game five. Game five. It was a game the Knicks won. It was a game. This game, the Knicks won, was at. It was game five. Hang on. Anyway, then it was game five because that's what they asked Pat Riley. Yeah, it was game five. Game five.
Because the Knicks were up 3-2.
Yes. They got 3-2. They lost game six and game seven. Sorry, I meant game five. Okay, I said game
Come
six.
Come on, man.
My fault. It's my
Knicks
fault.
Show.
And but watching them both, and I was like, okay. And then I remember being mad after going, an OJ chase. Knicks are going to win the championship, and now no one's even talking about it because OJ was in the chase in his car. Come on.
Well, fortunately for you, they didn't.
What do you mean, fortunately? I wouldn't care if they won and it got pushed.
But now you got 30 years of the chase.
So does this mean now the Knicks are going to make it to the finals and lose? Is that what you're telling me now? Knicks, yo.
Is it a karmic thing?
Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go.
Now,
go New York,
you know,
go New York, go.
I hate to say I told you so, whatever. Just everybody coming around, you know, with another 39-point performance. Trying to jump on your Jalen Brunson bandwagon.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. Guy's the MVP.
Now, he's going to finish like 18th in voting, just the way things work behind Luka and Jokic and everybody else. But he's had a hell of a run.
That's insane. You know what it is, honestly? This
is it
is...
an anti-New York bias?
Hey, hey, hey. I didn't say it. You did. That's an anti-Knicks bias. That's exactly what it is. Now, because in the media, there's certain teams that members of the media just don't like for one reason or another.
You're also not going to get a lot of love when a guy who claims to be your biggest fan doesn't realize that they traded one guy's ass away months ago, and the other guy's been starting for 40 games.
Grimes has been really good, okay? Hartenstein coming off the bench, that's been what we need.
He really...
All right? It's what we need. It's what we need. No, look, you could see just if Jalen Brunson played anywhere else, if Jalen Brunson was a Celtic, if he played on the Lakers, anyway, look at Jalen Brunson, look for his size, but look how smart he is, his IQ on the court, he's not fast, but he's quick enough, look what he does, he'd be gushing. But because
he's got
it's the
deceptive
Knicks,
speed.
But because it's the Knicks, and everybody gets sick and tired of Knicks fans like me going, go New York, go New York, I'm not going to give him any credit. That's exactly why.
That They're
not
song give really him doesn't any get enough run, credit. Though.
It's the same thing for why LeBron and AD don't get credit when the Lakers play. Well, I just don't like the... You talk about them too much. Oh, okay. But we don't talk about Luka. We don't talk about Jokic as much as we talk
you
about some of these guys. So it's easy to praise
you
them.
Brought up Dallas. Let's talk about the Cowboys.
Telling you, man.
What do we got now?
Hey, Quentin Grimes plays pretty well for the Cowboys. Coming off the bench for the Cowboys, he'll be terrific, man. I'm telling you.
I'm glad you admit, though, that it's your fault people hate the Knicks.
It's not, but I'm saying
it is your fault.
It's crazy, but that's the case.
It's not that crazy.
There is a huge anti...
You guys haven't won in 50 years.
There's anti-Knicks, anti-Lakers bias.
I wonder why, because you parade around like you're great when you're not.
Think about the last time they won a title, though.
You're not great.
Even Phil Jackson was throwing bows.
Even without Julius Randle, we're great. I mean, come on.
You decide once and for all. Do you love or hate that guy?
No, it doesn't matter.
Just put no today. No, the show is right now.
I don't have to.
Look at that. Like, you tried to, send a little soft love the other day. It's like, Blykamp, we don't need him.
I don't have to.
We're running straight through. We don't need that guy.
Wait, the narrative of this playoffs is, look at the Knicks running through teams, and they don't even have Julius Randle. That's going to be the big thing.
This is why, Mike. This is why.
That's the run.
This is why they hate us.
That's the run.
Go New
York. Go New York. Go. Go New York. Go New York. Go. Go. You know, the funny thing is, the one thing I remember from Go New York, Go New York, Go, is the Bulls, what was it, 93 after they won? Scott Williams. The Bulls parade. And this is after the Bulls won the championship, right? So this is after the Eastern Conference Finals. They win the championship. And everybody gets to speak at the at the rally and at the parade. And Scott Williams says, man, last round, all we heard was, go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Well, yeah, they're gone. And everybody went crazy. I'm going, so that's when I say that's kind of what I think of, is him saying, yeah, they're gone. Okay. But watch this year. Watch out.
All right.
Watch out.
Let's get the people that actually
matter. Go New York. Go New York. Go. So I'll have more on OJ coming up in a few minutes. But as I mentioned, Tom Brady, well, it didn't pick today, did a podcast, and today it just so happened to break.
Mm-hmm.
In a barber's chair, getting a haircut from a guy all kinds of tatted up. Let slip that, hey, if the NFL called me at some point, coming back to play isn't something I'm opposed to.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, heading to the playoffs, offense is great.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I'm always going to be in good shape, always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they'd let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
There it is.
Yeah.
Tom Brady saying, I would not be opposed to it.
No, it's good. Because in the
opposed to it.
Twitterverse, New England Patriots, just a little off the top, and it was an old picture of Brady with long hair, talking throwbacks, whatever. He said, 50,000 likes, and I'll unretire, and he had that scratched out, grow it back out with a bunch of crying, laughing emojis. I'm going to work to that haircut myself, see if I can't recreate such greatness, because you know what that does for me? Makes me feel young again.
Oh, good.
If Tom Brady's back on a football field.
Sure. Yeah.
Means that I'm not that old.
I could squint and I couldn't be able to tell him from you.
No. Really. But the point is, if he's playing, do I need LeBron to play to he's 50? Because as long as he's out there, I don't feel so damn old.
The Final Cut podcast, which that is from. And it's funny that he mentions Michael Jordan there, because I'll tell you what it seems like he's got in common with Michael Jordan that is not a great thing. When Jordan retired, came back, retired again, came back, Jordan had a competition issue that he could never find. How do I translate the competition I had on the basketball court into what I do after my career is over, right? He struggled with that, which is why he retired, unretired, retired, unretired.
And gambled a lot.
Trying to figure out how to own a team, front office, own a team. He never figured that out. Kobe Bryant was the same way. What's he going to do? But Kobe was succeeding at it. He found a way. He was doing a lot of stuff for women's sports, the Mamba Basketball Academy, and he was away from basketball doing things. He won an Oscar. So Kobe found a way. That was the other guy I'm saying, what's he going to do after there's no more games? Because he's as competitive as anybody else, but he found a way. But what Brady's got, the thing is that he's got that competition issue. That now, what does he do? Because he's now is someone who retired, came back, retired, and now wants to make sure the door is open that, hey, just in case, now I'm not saying I want to do 18 games, but end of the season, if you're a playoff team, or if you're New England, the Raiders, because the first team the guy brought up was San Francisco, hey, if the quarterback is hurt, would you play? I'm not opposed to it. So he wants people to know.
Name checked a bunch of teams, too.
If he wants people to know that if you have quarterback issues near the end of the season, you're really good, and you're a playoff team. Yeah, I could still do it. He's still holding out hope that I can play in the NFL and still do other things. I can be that part-time guy. Kind of like Roger Clemens wanted to do near the end of his Yankee career, where it was, I don't want to pitch until the middle of the season. I want to basically sit home and do nothing and then come back and pitch in August.
Well, it's like veteran players now that have no desire to go to training camp, and if they miss the first couple of weeks, doesn't matter. Yeah. It's a 17-game season.
But you can see Brady is the first thing to say is he has difficulty with retirement. What's going to keep him happy? He was always about competition. The great winners are always driven. And what do you do when it's done?
Well, how do you get that same juice? Yeah,
when you're done. And look at his second retirement. He's walking on the beach at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey guys, that's it. You only get one of these. My second one. I'm done. I'm walking away. Like I never thought after that he was really, really done.
No.
And here he is now saying I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like if you would say I'm done. No. I'm retired. I'm going to buy a football team. I'm done. No. Still, he's saying I wouldn't be opposed to it. Why would you say that unless you know you want teams having the back of their mind? Okay. If something happens, because Brady knows, look what we saw last year. How many quarterbacks started for teams? 60?
No, but that's still 60 some quarterbacks back to back years.
So if you're the Browns the end of last year and you could and you're sitting, what do we do? Hey, Tom Brady wants to go play. Now all the teams know, all the teams in the NFL know, if we're great and we lose a quarterback, Brady might want to come play for us. Like he's like now his chance of going from 0% playing to playing, like now it's like a 50-50 deal because there's going to be a team or teams that is really good, quarterback issues at the end, quarterbacks out because they get hurt all the time. Now I think it's up in the air.
Look
is he
going to
come back and play?
You got a chance.
Right? Is he going to come back and play? Really?
It could finally happen for you.
Back?
A quarterback worth his weight in salt.
Aaron Rodgers.
The guy from Chicago.
Aaron Rodgers says, no, I'm going to politics now or whatever else. All right, you leave in December. Tom Brady
will
come in.
Well, we got an Aaron Rodgers story we can get to later.
I mean,
yeah.
His chance of playing again went from 0 to 50-50 because somebody in contention with quarterback issues in December will call him.
Well, there's no 100% doubt he's staying in shape, right? And while he looks at the broadcast booth and everything else, that's slamming that door, especially after you watched, because as he's studying for the, from the last 2 years' footage, right, you start doing mock games or whatever, saw a lot of crappy quarterbacking.
Yeah.
Which is why we're talking about 5, 6, and 7 guys being
just
drafted
the
in the top 40.
Telling you guys are going to get hurt.
No,
just
but
the numbers telling you guys.
Right.
Are get
Normally,
hurt.
It's what 9 to 12 quarterbacks actually come through unscathed, and that's a bit variable year to year. But for the most part, you're turning things over, and most of those replacements are so bad you basically say, "Well, our starter's done. Our year's done." Well, now if you've got him floating out in the lab and getting himself ready and work together. Like I said, preparing for the work at Fox, no doubt put a little more fire back in the belly going, this is what passes for starting quarterback right now? I'm better than this. I may not be able to move laterally worth a damn at all, but I'm in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.